flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
We do know ball, brother. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, the third, the final, the best of the money. No, the fourth, the final, the best of the money hour of the Rob Brown Show goes now. I reverted back to our tell me about it. Welcome in, y'all. Great to have you. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. You are welcome to join the radio broadcast today. It is very simple for you to do so. Multiple ways to make it happen. The first way to make it happen is to get at us on the phone lines. Your calls are always welcomed and encouraged and taken. The second way is to text the radio program at 844-326-3663, 844-FANFONE. If you're paying attention and keeping track, that's the same number. 844-326-3663 will both text the show and it will call the show. All you got to do is save the Fan Upstate as a contact in your telefono, and when you are ready to show the world that you know ball, brother, hit us up on the text line or on the phone, 844-326-3663. How else can I get in touch with the show, Rob? I am so glad that you asked, hypothetical listener that I made up for this exact scenario. Shoot us a tweet at the Rob Brown Show. Shoot us a tweet at Lonzo Onward. Shoot us a tweet at the Fan Upstate to get by everybody up in the house. We'd love to have you there. You can email me, rob.brown@thefanupstate.com. rob.brown@thefanupstate.com. Lonzo, I was perusing Reddit last night, as that is a place that I get a good chunk of the news and information, which I bring to you every day here on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. And as I was perusing Reddit last night, my Reddit feed is largely made up of subreddits or discussion forums, for those of you that are not with the times, that discuss the teams that we cover across the area. And I came across one last night, great one, entitled The Fan Upstate on the Clemson Tiger subreddit. Now, this is shockingly not about us. It's about our coworkers, our colleagues, our comrades in arms, our afternoon partners on Wire to Wire, Diesel and Cole Bryan. Cole Bryson. What is wrong with it? I told you, dude.
Wow.
I'm getting my ass whooped today. I don't know what to tell you. I'm fighting for my life over
here. Make sure you guys tune in later for Cole Bryan because he's a wonderful
Cole Bryan's good people.
Sports guy.
Yes, yeah. He is. Yeah. Knowledgeable sports bro is Cole Bryan. So Diesel and Cole Bryan in the afternoons on Wire to Wire.
I can't wait for this take, Rod.
just flipping stations driving and come across this in their complete SEC Homer radio station. Clemson B-ball having great season, but one of them, Gasoline or Kerosene or whatever his name is just complete calling Clemson frauds. I can't believe anybody listens to this station.
Well, I know it's not that Cole Bryan guy because he's a Clemson fan.
Yeah, he would never.
Yeah, he wouldn't do. He would never. Wasn't him.
That Kerosene guy, though.
Yeah, Kerosene. I mean, you got to watch out for Kerosene.
Kerosene drives me nuts.
Kerosene is combustible. If you get anywhere near him,
yeah.
I mean, things are just going to blow up.
When we say Kerosene is heated, we mean it. All right. So make sure you check out this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. right here on the Fan Upstate, the SEC Homer Show with noted Clemson fan Cole Bryan and Kerosene.
Wow.
Can't wait to listen to the boys.
The intro is going to be amazing.
Can't wait. Can't wait. I texted that to Diesel last night at like 11:45. I wasn't asleep yet. Sent that to him.
He's
said,
why are you awake, Rod?
Yes, he was. He said, I said, way to go, Kerosene. And he said, yeah, he was listening. I was like, all right, man, that's radio, baby. That's radio. Cole Bryan and Kerosene coming up this afternoon, 3 to 7 right
here. I got one for you, Kerosene. That's just for you.
Just hit him with one of those every now
and
then.
There you go. Yeah. I could send you the clip if you need a Kerosene.
Oh, Kerosene. Love Kerosene. What a guy. What an absolute guy is Kerosene. All right. Let's get some more football in here as we roll on with the radio program. We have talked NFC and AFC championship games. Let's talk a little college football here for just a moment. If you missed this story earlier in the radio broadcast, ESPN put out their ratings for the college football national championship game, which took place on Monday between the Buckeyes of Ohio State and the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. 22.1 million viewers on average throughout the duration of the Natty. Now, it's a good number. It was the most viewed non-NFL sporting event over the past 12 months. You have to keep in mind, last year's national championship was outside of the last 12 months. It was the most watched game of the entire playoff bracket in the inaugural 12-team college football playoff. The game peaked at 26.1 million viewers, and according to ESPN, more than half of people aged 18 to 49 watching television were tuned into the championship game for at least some period of time. Now, these are ESPN's numbers. I suspect that they are relatively accurate. But I would also say ESPN kind of utilized some flowery numbers here. Here, with a rating, again, of 22.1 million viewers, here are some college football playoff games that got more viewers than Notre Dame and Ohio State. Those two teams got 22.1. 22.1, Ohio State, or excuse me, 22.4, Georgia versus Ohio State in 2022. 22.5, Georgia versus Alabama. 25.1, 3 million more viewers tuned in last year, to watch Michigan versus Washington. 2016, Clemson v. Alabama. 2018, Clemson v. Alabama did an identical 25.2. 2019, this is probably, I think, Lonzo, maybe the most shocking number to me. 2019, LSU versus Clemson did 25.5 million. That was the Joey B year. That was the year that LSU had what I consider to be the most successful college football season of all time. Not just in terms of what they accomplished on like with the stats on the field.
Here's the thing. It's tainted because they had to use a transfer quarterback. That's not pure college football, Rod. It's just not.
You're not going to grab a little bit, a little slice of that pie with a former Buckeye being the guy?
I'm being sarcastic.
Yeah, I know you are.
I was rooting for him.
Old Joey Burrow with an EAUX on the end. 25.5, 26.1 for Alabama Clemson in 2015. Georgia Oklahoma in 2017 did 26.9. Michigan Alabama in 2023 did 27.7. Oregon Florida State in the first ever four-team college football playoff did 28.1 million. 2014 Ohio State versus Alabama did 28.2. Alabama Georgia in 2017 did 28.4 million on average. And the most watched college football playoff game to date was 2014 Oregon versus Ohio State, which turned in a whopping 34.1 million viewers. That is 12 million more than Ohio State v. Oregon, than Ohio State Notre Dame did this year. Ohio State Notre Dame, by the way, and this one's a little shocking to me, turned the same number is Ohio State, Oregon. Now, I could be wrong. We didn't know what the natty was going to be. Hell, we didn't know what the semi was going to be at this point. But I have to think that the Ohio State, Oregon rematch, even if you are not a Duck or a horse chestnut fan, was Ohio State v. Oregon rematch in the second round. Was that not the most anticipated matchup? With the exception of whoever made it to the natty, and even so, I would argue, I was more looking forward to Bucks-Ducks than I was anybody else.
You know, for sure, because of how the first meeting went down and how close a game that was, and it came down to a quarterback mistake. And people still shocked that they would put those two in the same bracket. But yeah, I mean, and some labeled it the de facto national championship game.
Yeah. You look at the 2024 numbers, and they don't look great for college football.
It's so skewed because, again, you talked about those earlier years, the internet and the ability to view things on the internet was so much different then than it is now. It's just I don't understand how that they can clearly define what the numbers are when it comes to this generation of watching things online.
Well, so, and this is fun. Part of the way that it is done, it is my understanding, I don't claim to have a working, intricate, intimate knowledge of the ins and outs of the whole thing. But my understanding is that with the combining of the old rating system, which is effectively ask people, and with the new age of smart televisions, which are largely connected to the internet, they have the ability to just effectively ping what you're watching, right? This is how Netflix keeps track of what people are streaming. It just records it and it sends it back to Netflix and they know. Oh, goodness. Okay. This is the first breaking news we've had in a minute.
According to several sources, I waited to see if there would be more sources before I mentioned it. Friend of the show, Shane Beamer, has been extended through 2030.
Nice. I'm good with that. 2030 is a long way from
it
here.
It is.
Dude.
Breaking news brought to you by
BetQL. Be a better, be smarter, beat the books with our friends at BetQL. Grab the BetQL app. They've got models built for you. They give you game breakdowns. And of course, you can get expert analysis from BetQL nationally syndicated host like me. Go to BetQL on your Google Play Store or in the App Store on your Apple iPhones, you cultist, and grab the BetQL app. And don't forget to listen to Bet for the Cycle every Saturday from noon to 4 on the BetQL network with myself and former Major League Baseball player Cody Decker. Cody is out tomorrow, so I will be rolling with the Persian love machine, Jake Hassan, on the show tomorrow. Pretty stoked. I love Jake. Jake's good people.
So you good with Shane Beamer being extended?
Yeah, for sure. How would you not be?
Oh, I am too. Right?
Yeah, I don't think. Now, again, and this is something that is just kind of an inevitability, 2030 is a long way from right now. And I do think we talked with Lulu Kessin for the Greenville News, covers the Gamecock Athletic Department on yesterday. We talked to her on yesterday. And when we had our conversation with Lulu Kessin, I said, hey, Lulu, there's a couple of things I'm interested about Shane Beamer. How fortuitous, by the way, that we had this conversation the day before Shane-O caught himself. What I assume, are there financial terms attached to that? Do we have a financial report on that yet?
I haven't found it yet.
Okay.
I'm efforting.
Yeah, let me know if you dig that up because I'm curious. If you're going to extend a guy like Shane, who without a doubt, based on his performance this year, based on his performance overall, what did he beat Spurrier for the best record in the first 4 years of any coach at South Carolina? That's pretty good. When you look at what Shane-O has done, and you look at a couple of other things. Number one, the fan base loves this guy. And you have to have that now, because if the fan base doesn't love the head coach and they're not excited and don't want to be a part of it, what do they not do? Donate to the collective.
All right. According to a friend of the show, Lulu Kessin, I'm looking through the article to see how much of he got a raise too.
Oh, for sure he got a raise.
I just want to point out that she has just released an article and I am trying to read through it right now. I thought I had the number, but.
Friend of the show and weekly guest on Thursdays at 8 a.m., Lulu Kessin, breaking the news out of Columbia, South Carolina. Love Lulu. Great work. Lulu Kessin reporting, Shane Beamer has caught himself an extension through the 2030 season.
All right, Beamer's new contract will begin January 1st and runs through December 31st, 2030.
Wait, will begin January 1st or did it begin January 1st?
I'm just reading, dude. His salary increased to $8,150,000 with an additional $100,000 on January 1st of every year. So he gets a $100,000 raise going forward through the end of the contract.
So he's got the same contract we do. He's getting the same amount of money we do.
A little bit less, but okay, still, he'll get there.
I don't want to brag, you know. It's the right decision. I think, again, when it comes down to it, we may not all phrase it the same way, but I have talked very regularly on this show about having the three C's of recruiting, and you do have to have all of them, though you can be good by excelling in two of them. The three C's of college football recruiting are cash, culture, coach. Okay? You need to have all three in some iteration. You can be exceptional if you are exceptional at two of them. If you have a great coach that the fan base is excited about and are putting lots of cash into the coffers, you can be good even if your culture isn't where you want it to be. If you have an excellent culture and a wonderful coach that the kids love and want to play for, you can be good. If you have an okay coach, but you got a great culture and a lot of cash coming in, you can get a bunch of athletes who want to be there and want to be good. Shane Beamer is, as far as I am concerned, and sorry to the person who called him Kerosene earlier because we're all SEC homers around here.
I was going to say, I can't wait till this afternoon to hear what Kerosene and the ASEC show talks about.
Me too. To me, two of the best culture builders in college football are at the two schools that we cover, Shane Beamer and Dabo Swinney. I think they are two of the best culture builders. And again, it does not matter how anybody outside of your footprint feels about that culture. Yeah, everybody outside of Clemson feels like Dabo's hokey. Doesn't matter. All that matters is how the folks that are wearing orange tiger paws feel about him and how the players he wants to recruit feel about him. Shane Beamer, a lot of people outside of South Carolina feel like he's kind of a dork. Doesn't matter. All that matters is how the Gamecocks feel about him. The Gamecock fans are excited. They should be after what they did this year. They are going to put a lot of money into the NIL coffers this year. This is the right move, and you get him now before the next head coaching circuit works up and somebody comes in and sneaks him away for more. It's a great play. Great call. Well done. Well done, South Carolina. All right. When we come back here in just a minute, we'll get back to the NFL discussions that we were having, the college football ratings discussion, and more on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Hey, Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, the most watched college football playoff games dating back to 2014. With the exception of 2023's Michigan versus Alabama, all of the games inside of the top, say, 8 are up to 2019, all right? So, these are the games that had 25 or more million average viewers. 23 or less, all are from 21 till today. 25 million plus. 2023 Michigan, Washington. Last year's Natty. 2016 Clemson, Alabama. 2018 Clemson, Alabama. These are going in ascending order. 2019 LSU, Clemson. 2015 Alabama, Clemson. 2017 Georgia, Oklahoma. 2023 Michigan, Alabama. 2014, 2017, 2014. And so the question mark is, why? Why is it that the number has fallen apart the way that it has for the college football national championship game? And there is a reason I bring this up.
Have you checked our ratings down overall throughout the season?
They do not appear to be at a cursory glance, for whatever that's worth. At a cursory glance.
Because I was just curious if this has followed the trend of the season.
No, from a cursory glance, it appears that the regular season numbers are holding steady and in some cases are even up a bit. Now, again, one of the things that makes this discussion very difficult to have is just the reality that any given game has a million variables that can impact viewership. Time of day, day of week, night of week, what else is on TV around it? Is there stuff going on out in the real world? You know, is there a natural disaster out there somewhere? Like, what is happening? But I think there are some football things that have to come into the discussion. Here's a couple of them. 2015, 45-40. Alabama knocks off Clemson. 2016, Clemson gets revenge, 35-31 over Alabama. 2017, Alabama gets back on the right side of things, 26-23 in an overtime win over Georgia in Atlanta. Here are the scores of the Natty since then. Great one. 2018, 44-16 Clemson over Alabama. 2020, 42-25 LSU over Clemson. 2021, Alabama 52-24 over Ohio State. 2022, 33-18 Georgia over Alabama. 2023, 65-7 Georgia over TCU. 2024, 34-13 over Michigan. And this year, 34-23 Ohio State over Notre Dame. But do have to mention in the discussion that many of you, including almost me, and if I get up and walk out on a game, it ain't a great game, okay? It just ain't a great game if I walk out on it. I stay up late for football, All right? It's a toxic relationship. I stay up late. If I walk away from a game, it's got a problem. I almost walked away from that game because after the first half, Ohio State clearly had the game in hand. And then they opened up the second half with a five-play tutty drive. And it was like, oh, ball game, bangering. Let's go to bed. The Buckeyes are winning this thing, yeah? I think there is a problem with the college football playoffs, though. And the problem is that we have now gotten, dating back to 2018, zero competitive national championship games. You add that into the fact that they are played on a Monday night and people got work. I was reading through the college football subreddit yesterday about the ratings. And there was a large number of people that were making comments about how, you know, if that game was on a Saturday night, I probably would have finished it, even if it was out of hand. But it being Monday night and me having to go to work on Tuesday and it was a blowout, I had to go to bed. I had to walk. I had to get out of there. A lot of people said, you know, I went back and I watched it the next day because I didn't know it was going to get close. But I also know a lot of people would not go back and watch it the next day because you already know who won. And I don't, most people I've interacted with, I think I'm comfortable saying this, most people I've interacted with have told me, because I've had this conversation many times, that if they know the score to a game, they are not going to go back and watch a replay of the game unless it's their team, right? And they won. So I think the issue here, because Michelle Beadle and Cody Decker, and I know Deck's off tomorrow, but next Saturday we'll probably have this discussion. Because Deck said on our show, Bet for the Cycle, which is every Saturday from noon to four on the BQL Network, hashtag shameless self-promotion. Decker said to me last Saturday, and then to Michelle Beadle on Beadle and Decker earlier this week, Deck said it's been 11 days. My level of care and compassion has waned over 11 days, especially when those 11 days had two rounds of NFL playoff football take place within it. Two. Especially when you have the NBA hitting its midseason, when you have MLB's hot stove heating up, you have all this other, you got American soccer playing some friendlies. That might just be me. But you got a lot going on in the world of sports. And Decker said it got to the point where I was just like, meh. And then I do think there is some level of, probably not as much as some of the big talking heads have said, I do think there is some level of Ohio State and Notre Dame are two teams that are disliked by the general public. That's just the result of being a team that has a lot of success, whether it is off the field or in the branding department.
Name a blue blood in any sport that's not hated.
That's fair. That's fair. Again, like that's kind of exactly what I was saying. I think at the end of the day, the dislike of the Bucks and the Irish is largely because Ohio State has been wildly successful over the past 10 years, and because the Irish are arguably, in terms of the business world, the most successful college football program, financially speaking, at least, right? They are independent. They have their own television network deal that pays them out in a similar way that most every other school is getting paid by their conference for their TV deal. Like, they're perfectly happy. But I don't know, because I think at the end of the day, and I think Chiefs-Bills in the AFC title game will likely go a long way improving this. I think America is as much willing to tune in to watch a team lose as they are to watch a team win, right? Now, I will say this. My working theory on why that maybe didn't hold up here is because everybody wanted to see both teams lose, and that's not how that works. But I don't know. I'm sure that there is some level of credit that will be given or should be given to the fact that we had an 11-day wait, that we had an 11-day wait that had a pair of NFL playoff games wrapped up in it. I am sure that had something to do with it. I am sure playing it on a Monday night had something to do with it. But I think if I had to guess, and I could be very wrong, and those of you out there in Radio Land, send me a text to 844-326-3663 or give us a call and let me know if my theory holds any water with you. If this is maybe you or it's maybe not you. I also think, because Joey B and I were texting back and forth during this game, and when Notre Dame got their third three and out, I think it was, I texted Joey B and I was like, yep, Buckeyes about to blow this one wide open. And he wrote back and he went, yeah, I think that's it for me. And I said, yeah, it might be for me too. I have to know what happened in this game and I still might call it a night. I have to wonder if the ratings decline, which by the way, I don't think I've said this yet, was a 12% decline of the ratings. 12%. That's a big ass number, dude.
All right. I don't know that you've mentioned what else was going on that day that could have had something to do with the ratings.
There was the presidential inauguration,
which they had coverage of that still going on forever, the parties and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
And that could have factored in.
But all of the pomp and circumstance, and that's not to say, listen, we live in a world of 24/7 news cycle. Sorry, 24/7 opinions disguised as news cycle, right? But the inauguration was well over at that point. I mean, there were like parties and stuff happening in D.C. that were kind of like cut into, but 10%, I don't think 10% of people that watch college football natties were like, let me tune over and see, you know, Kid Rock playing.
All right, so I'm not saying it's 10%. I'm saying that probably a percentage of that was because of that.
There may have, I'm not going to argue there may have been some level of the inauguration that day that impacted it for sure. But 12%, in a TV exec's eyes, if a television show was to lose 12% of its audience, they would be moving that show towards the cancellation block.
Yeah, I get everything you've been saying, but throughout everything that you've said, all I know is that Ohio State won the
Well, we're not talking about you right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, well, it's my story, so.
And that's fair. You know. The thought to me was, bigger than the game being on a Monday, bigger than the game being played late at night on a Monday, bigger than all of these variables that we have discussed so far, is the fact that the college football playoff national championship has been uncompetitive since 2017-18. The overtime Alabama-Georgia game was the last game that was ever in doubt. Every game since then. So if we have gone 2018-19, 19-20, 20-21, 21-22, 22-23, 23-24, 25, what is that, 7 years in a row? Seven straight games that aren't competitive? It would make sense that when Ohio State goes up three scores and Notre Dame has nothing working and it's Monday at 9 p.m., people would go, I got to get up out of here. Here's the thing. What do you do about it if you're college football? What do you do about it? You got a 12-team playoff. What do you do about it? I don't think there's anything. I think college football has two options. Move the entire college football calendar ahead 2 weeks and play that game on like January 3rd, or nothing.
Just play it the following Friday. If they would have done that, everything would have been fine.
See, I said this last week. They're never going to play. They would rather let it sink slowly on Mondays because Friday is a death blow for television. No one, it's just the ratings aren't there. Every TV show you've ever watched that got canceled, its last few episodes were on Fridays. There's a reason for that.
Yeah, Urkel has something to say about that.
Stephon Urkel. Wrapping up the show after
Uncle
this.
Jesse has something to say about that.
And the Rippers. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. All right, let's get some final thoughts in here on the radio program as we steam towards the end of the show. Real quick, I want to address it just because I heard Cole Bryan talking about it there in his segment, his promo for Wire to Wire with Cole Bryan and Kerosene coming up this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. So there is a report going around, and I'm going to tell you right now, I'm telling you this, because if this happens, I want you to know, and it's so accurate, that I'm going to temporarily suspend the inside joke that we have been making about Cole Bryan and Kerosene to tell you that if this happens, Wire to Wire with Cole Bryson and Diesel becomes immediate must-see stream V, okay? I will be joining the ranks of the Tolos immediately if this happens.
Whatever that is, that's so weird.
Yes, it's a weird thing to say. We would never. Anyway, Armada, dig this. This is called a cross promotion. And I'm telling you that I am all in for this. This is Rob Brown being very sincere. Okay? I listen to Wire to Wire anytime I'm in the car in the afternoons. It's my go-to. It will be something that I will put everything off to the side to listen if this report turns out to be accurate. Jerry Jones and Mike McCarthy were unable to come to a contract resolution. And as you all know, Mike McCarthy is now no longer the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. He is gone, and he will be, book it now, the head coach of the New Orleans Saints sometime in the next 2 to 3 weeks. Okay? Write that down. Put that off to the side.
It's going to be a time of joy for me.
I keep trying to remind myself of what you yourself, finally serving as an optimist, said a day or two ago.
To finally serving. I'm always an optimist.
Finally.
I'm going to love it because you did not want him and you poo-pooed it and you downplayed it. He's going to come in and make your team a winner. Not necessarily a championship team, but at least they'll compete possibly win the South.
You could bring back the ghost of Vince Lombardi himself. We can't be good. But we'll put that to the side for a handful of minutes.
So negative.
Yes. Yes, I am. Look at my football team. So.
Debbie Downer over there.
So, the report is this. After Mike McCarthy was walked by the Dallas Cowboys, Jerry Jones found himself in a spot because he had no leads on a head coach. Now, the first name that got floated, and I believe in large part because those media-driven narratives, I actually kind of believe this is one of them, so that we're clear, and that is Deion Sanders leaving Colorado to come down to the Big D, and I do mean Dallas. Now,
you think he could have contacted Woody Johnson or whoever and asked what their kid thought about? I mean, maybe.
Hey, what do you think Deion's Madden rating is? Is it worth it? Deion Sanders. Now, you will recall, if you listen to this show, Rob Brown told you the day that rumor started, this ain't happening, okay? It's not. And it's not happening because Deion knows his ego, Jerry has an ego, and I think they both know, friends or not, yeah, they can't coexist.
Yeah, because we haven't seen anybody just change their mind in the last
day about coaching somewhere. Nope, this ain't about mind. This is about personality. It is one thing to change your mind. Even the most stubborn butts amongst us can change our mind. We've seen it happen. What someone can do, but it ordinarily requires you going to hang out in a hobbit hole with some mushrooms or something, is change who you are as a person, your personality. I am forever and always the most bubbly, happily optimistic person you know. Okay? Just ever and always. There's no changing that. Jokes aside, I love my life. I am loud. I am enthusiastic. I try to have a good time all the time. If you ever see me beaten down, something's bad. Okay? Something's wrong. Like I got a tiny computer. Something's wrong. Changing who you are as a person is not easy. And I think that Deion Sanders knows JJ ain't going to change. And I think JJ knows Deion is going to want him to get the hell out of the way. And neither of those guys is, in my opinion, respectfully capable, certainly not willing to do so. So that leads us to a spot where, once again, JJ ain't got no coach. And the head coaching candidates are coming off the board rapidly now. We are now down to the second tier. Ben Johnson's got a job. Aaron Glenn's got a job. We're now down to the second and third tier of coaches left.
So the first tier was only comprised of Detroit coaches?
Honestly? Yeah. I think so.
Don't we have some also-ran, some guys that have been in the league, like your boy Pete?
Yes.
Possibly could be in there.
Is Pete Carroll a first-tier coach to you?
He was at some point, according to the media.
He was. When Russell Wilson was a Seahawk 4 years ago.
That is proof that he's a good coach because he was able to make Russell Wilson look good.
Mm-hmm. And look how fast, Bill Belichick, it can get away from you. So, no. Now, I'm not saying Pete Carroll isn't a guy I would consider, but he ain't a first-tier coach. JJ is on to the second tier. Here's the name.
By the way, I'm pretty sure I read that Pete Carroll has been reached out to.
I'm sure he has. Yeah. I'm sure multiple teams have reached out to Pete Carroll because there gets a point where you go, he's the best left on the board, even if he ain't got it anymore. He's the best left on the board. We got to get somebody, right? Here's the name that has been floated a few times down in Dallas, Texas. Ron Rivera. Ron Rivera has been floated a couple of times. According to an anonymous source out of Dallas, as of Monday, the Dallas Cowboys had not yet requested an official interview with Ron Rivera, but his name has been floated around the Cowboy locker room by JJ himself. And on top of that, Rivera is in the process of interviews right now. He has met with the Bears, Raiders, and Jets about their openings. Now, yesterday evening, as I was looking through some different news conglomeration and forums. I did not know this. And I didn't know this. Panthers fans are really divided on Ron Rivera. Like, a lot of Panthers fans believe that the Cam Newton era Panthers had Super Bowl couple times potential and were dragged by Ron Rivera.
Right, if you look at his record with the Panthers, if it would have been anywhere else, he would have gotten fired a whole lot sooner than he did. Got to interview him. Very nice guy. He got you a really good season like every 4 to 5 years. But in today's NFL, it's hard to believe he lasts with Washington as long as he did. And I think that had to do with
the old owner.
With the turmoil that was going on there. They just didn't really focus on what was going on the field. But go back and look at the record. Classically, I mean, they didn't do well for 2 or 3 years, then they had a really good year, then they would go back to doing bad 2 or 3 years. Not much different than what it is now, except there's not that 1 year where they actually win.
Yep.
That hasn't happened in
a while. Mike McCarthy had what did we say the other day? Back-to-back 12-5 seasons to start?
And then he had a bad season this year, but I think he still had a winning record.
Yeah.
And there were a ton of injuries.
Listen, the Cowboys have a ton of talent. It's not been – well, they had a ton of talent. Now they have a bunch of old guys on bad contracts. Good job, Jerry. The point here is I hope this happens. Because they will only get worse. They will only get worse from that point. And at some point, because that'll be another Jerry hire, Jerry's going to have to stop blaming the head coaches at some point. He's just going to have to own it. The point of all of this is not to get into breakdown the Dallas head coach searching process or who their prospective next head coach might be. The point of this is, if they hire Ron Rivera, I'm going to come up here and sit in the corner of that studio just to watch Cole Bryson for about a week. He might not be okay.
Why would you do that? You'd be seeing him from behind. You want to sit over there and be able to watch the look on his face. Or do you think you see the trembling start before the breakdown happens?
It's just the point to point out that Cole Bryson's going to have an active breakdown on the air. And I kind of want to be here in person to see it. That's all.
Nah, he's used to it.
Bills by 3, Commanders by 3.
Okay. I don't know why you did that, but okay.
Because I didn't do it in the segment.
Okay.
I probably should have.
Yeah. I'm going Chiefs and Eagles. There's going to be a rematch. Me against the world and stuff. All right. The first thing is asking, let's get to the big one right away.
You and the Swifties versus the world.
Yeah. Well, I tried to get someone to come down here, but they're not in the building.
Taylor?
Right now. They're not in the building right now. The other big Chiefs.
Well, she's on tour still.
The other big Chiefs fan in the building.
Oh.
I mean that figuratively. So you don't know who the other...
I have no idea who you're talking about.
Come on, man. Stoneman is a huge Kansas City Chiefs fan.
I genuinely did not know that.
He's worn jerseys in front of you.
He wears jerseys all the time. I thought he was just a jersey guy.
He wears Kansas City Chiefs jerseys.
I honestly, and this might just be because I'm dumb, I don't ever recall that.
By the way, they worked in Kansas City for a while.
No, I know that.
He's went to Kansas City to see a game from here.
Didn't know that.
Yes. All right. He's tried to get me on a plane to go do it, and I said no.
Well, I'll go tell him about the secret
I don't think he's here, because if he was here, I tried to get him to come down here and be and be on the show, but he's lights out, yo. All right, so the big one. Let us talk about the big one.
The big one. Not a big one.
No, it is, and it delves into a place where we don't normally go, but we have to.
YOLO.
Jennifer Aniston is exing.
Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, you don't know.
I don't know.
Oh, dude, you don't know.
Jennifer Aniston.
How could you not know this? The rumor out there, mm-hmm. and she is now.
She slept with Pete Davidson.
Oh, no. Oh, okay. Let's go higher.
Than Pete Davidson?
Let's go higher. Yes.
She slept. It's a slept with rumor?
It's
a hooked up with rumor?
Yes.
It's a hooked up with rumor. It's, Jennifer, Donald Trump.
You're close.
Ooh. Elon Musk.
No.
I have no idea.
Think a different ethnicity.
Barack Obama?
Yes.
Get out.
Dude, it is everywhere. I can't believe you haven't seen this.
I literally have not.
To the point where she has gotten rid of all her social media and everything. Yes. Because the rumor is that that he and Michelle are breaking up and Jennifer Aniston is right in there.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, she wasn't at the inauguration and Obama was. That's interesting.
You didn't know that.
No, I swear to you, I did not. Swear to you, I've not heard that. That's wild.
So I'm right about that being the big one, right?
Yes, yeah.
All right. The next thing that's exing, not as big of a deal, but it is for some people, is Crunchyroll.
Okay, so that is the streaming anime service, and I saw somebody on my Instagram early put it. There was a data breach, data leak.
They released premium logins and passwords.
Is that you?
No, but it is someone very close to me who you know.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's not great.
Yeah, I don't know that he's on that list, but he definitely has a premium account.
They're out to get the animators.
No, they're going after Pappy, I think.
That might be it.
All right. The next thing that's Xing is, I mean, that sucks when they put names and passwords out there. The next thing that's Xing is Alexa Bliss.
So Alexa Bliss is trending right now because she was apparently supposed to be back and make her appearance on the first episode of Raw on Netflix, but that got scrapped. She has not been in on TV since what, like the 23 Royal Rumble. She had a baby and then she had some health concerns. Well, she got back. She was supposed to come back, but apparently at the 11th hour before her appearance, her representative team made a new list of demands, and the WWE was like, no, you're coming back on your old contract or not at all. And she has since now disappeared again. She was wiped from all their social media and all that. So there's a discussion about she comes back. And if so, does she come back at the Rumble or is she done at all?
I guess we'll see. Finally, Matt Cardona is exing.
Whoa. Is exing because he's 100% going to be at the Royal Rumble.
No, because he didn't believe and he lost. He was.
That's right.
He showed up last night on a live TNA and wrestled Joe Hendry.
I was just waiting for you to say the name.
I know. That's why I hesitated.
Royal Rumble just a couple of weeks away. Can't wait.
Shout out to Chris Miller.
Shout out Chris Miller. What up, big dog? Thanks for coming by. Thanks for being here, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you didn't, sucks to be you. Come back again on Monday. We'll try it all over again. My name is Rob Brown. He is a great one, Lonzo. We will see you back here on Monday. It's the Rob Brown Show. It's the Fan Upstate. Later!